to Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of June 16th through June 22nd. I'm your host, Cardzy B. As most of you already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in Manhattan. I began learning tarot when I was 11 and since then have turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzy B. So how has your month been so far? My June has already been a lot better than May, but still a little crazy as we're moving through Gemini season and into a waxing moon until the full strawberry moon early tomorrow. So that's happening actually, like I'm going to be doing my ritual work tonight because it's actually happening in the wee hours of tomorrow morning, I think around 4:30 a.m. And then we head into Cancer season, woo, which I'm so excited about by the end of the week. So if Gemini season felt a little frantic and maybe even overwhelming for you like it did for me, Cancer season is bringing in a much gentler energy. Under Cancer's influence, we often feel kind of sentimental and nostalgic, but this is a really good time for kind of slowing down a little and nurturing ourselves and our loved ones. This rolls in Friday, June 21st, which is literally the day my best friend in the whole world, who is a Cancer, flies in from Toronto for a fabulous weekend in New York. And we didn't even look at the astro forecast when he booked his ticket, but like what perfection. I cannot wait to celebrate the summer solstice and the launch of Cancer season with my BFF. So if you guys are looking to celebrate the summer solstice, also known as midsummer, I really love this time for giving gratitude to all that has come to fruition since December, since the Yule celebration. And I really like to put all the things I'm grateful for, and this can be photos, kind of mementos, or even tarot cards and crystals that represent energies that have come into my life in this time. And I usually put that all out on my altar and burn a sun candle starting on the morning of the summer solstice and let it burn down. If you're looking for a little witchy history on this holiday, so the deal is that the Wiccan celebration of summer solstice, which is also referred to as midsummers or Litha, at this point, the sun's light has literally been growing, right? The days are getting longer since December, and it's reached its peak. The longest day of the year is the summer solstice, is June 21st. And midsummer can be a little bit of a paradox because the sun is actually starting to decline after this point. So that means now the days are going to start to get shorter and shorter until winter. But we're also in like full high summer mode celebrating. So this is kind of like the sun card, aka Cher, all warm and bright and sparkly. And, you know, I like to look at the summer solstice as one of life's many choose your lens moments. Like, do you want to celebrate that, you know, warm, sparkly summer energy that we're in the middle of? Or do you want to kind of look at the fact that the days are going to start to get shorter and we're going to be going in, you know, heading towards winter? I personally am going to go for the celebration summer vibes, but that's just me. I feel like June's cards are really going to come in even stronger between now and the solstice. For those of you who listen to June's other episodes, you might remember that we pulled Justice, aka Ruth Bader Ginsburg, for one of the month's cards. And Justice really encourages us to make choices based on what's fair and just, and also reminds us to place necessary boundaries in place for what's in our best and highest interest. Our other June card, the Lovers, ruled by Gemini, brings in that connected, collaborative energy. This is often associated with romantic love, but can also be through a work collaboration or a partnership with a friend or family member. The Lovers at the core also represents harmony and healing within ourselves. And for this reason, to me, the Lovers is just as much about like our own healing and our connection to cosmic consciousness or to the universe as it is about external love coming in. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was hoping June was going to bring in a sexy summer romance, but, and I suppose there's still time. We're only halfway through the month, but at the moment, this is looking like it's going to be my bestie coming in for the solstice, but I will take it. Because that is my Lover's card energy coming in strong. So thank you, universe, for that. If you do want more detailed info on the cards for June, you can go back to episode 45 of this podcast, which has the monthly overview. So now for the card of the week. The The Hanged Man. All right. So this card's interesting. It's also a pretty relevant card this year because the card for 2019 for the Cosmic Collective is actually the Hanged Man, because 2 plus 0 plus 1 plus 9 equals 12, or the number of the Hanged Man. In the OG Smith Rider-Waite deck, this is a man suspended from a wooden T and he's hanging upside down, viewing the world from a totally different perspective. But his facial expression is actually pretty chill, and it's kind of suggesting that he's hanging here by his own choice, and he's like, all right, I'm in this position, I'm going to deal with it. He also has an illuminated halo around his head, which is kind of said to represent enlightenment in the position that he's in. The Hanged Man's really known for two major lessons. It's about being in a time of surrender and often uncertainty, and also a time of change of perspective, as, you know, he's literally hanging upside down. Astrologically, the Hanged Man is ruled by Neptune, the water god, or the planet ruling the waters, you know, and known as the god of water. And this has a very fluid, powerful water energy behind it. You know, I think of it as being in the ocean and knowing when to surrender versus trying to fight the waves, which is only going to exhaust you and harm you more. In the Badass Bitches tarot deck, the Hanged Man is Lindsay Lohan, and she is known for kind of going from that Hollywood party girl, always in the tabloids for being a hot mess, to zenned out plant medicine chick chilling in cryobaths of Dubai. And she's recently been spotted back at her partying ways a little bit, but even that is reminiscent of the Hanged Man, you know, really breathing into that discomfort, surrendering to it so you can see the reason for the transition. This week may bring about a situation that is, you know, uncertain or a bit uncomfortable, but the best thing we can do in Hanged Man energy is just breathe into that discomfort. And often it's the surrender in and of itself that allows things to come in and allows us to see things from a clarifying new perspective. So I welcome the Hanged Man. All right, so this month's Ask Card ZB, we have some awesome questions that came through emails and DMs from you guys. I love these because even if we're a ways out for the next Ask Card ZB episode of the month, I save all of your questions and I try to address as many as possible. So please, please keep them coming. I read and I try to respond to you guys, even if I don't use it, you know, in the upcoming episode, I save it. And I'm so grateful, so keep them coming. Our first question for the June Ask Card ZB comes from @PhoebePierce. Can you please explain how houses are represented in the card, specifically the 6th, the 9th, and the 12th houses? All right, Phoebe, I love this question, and this could actually be an entire episode, if not more, because each card in the deck has an astrological ruling or association, which means that they have ties to the 12 houses, the 12 astrological houses. But because of time for this episode, I'm not going to go through each of the 78 cards or even all 12 houses, but I'll do the best to answer your specific question regarding the 6th, 9th, and 12th houses. So the 6th house is all about work, service, daily routine, health, and often that mind-body connection because of the combination of kind of work and health, right? This house is ruled by Virgo, which in tarot is associated with the Hermit card, because the Hermit card is ruled by Virgo. And the Hermit really encourages us to do that inner work, to kind of go inside and access what we truly need for ourselves, filtering out all the external noises and opinions and expectations to find what it is that, you know, that we need to guide us. And that's really finding that connection to self, which then is like connection to the greater cosmic consciousness, to divine, to the universe, whatever you want to call it. When diving into the 6th house, obviously the Hermit's our big major arcana card ruled by Virgo. But when diving in further, it's also good to look at the other big Virgo energy cards, which are 8 of Pentacles, which is ruled by Sun in Virgo, 9 of Pentacles, ruled by Venus in Virgo, and 10 of Pentacles, ruled by Mercury in Virgo. So all of those cards have strong 6th house energy in them. The 9th house is all about philosophy, on the other hand. It's philosophy, spirituality, travel, all the things of how we expand our inner and outer lives. So it's probably no surprise that this house is ruled by my sun sign, Sagittarius. Love it. Love the ninth house. And Sagittarius rules the Temperance card. And Temperance is really the alchemist of the deck and reminds us the importance of knowing when to get in there and mix things up and when to be able to step back and observe. And Sagittarians are not always the best at moderation. So I think Temperance is a good reminder of the importance of that. And, you know, those practices, when working with philosophy and expansion, you have to have some moderation. You have to know when to kind of step back, let things marinate, let things settle in, process, and when to get in there and alchemize and mix it up. Sagittarius, I just learned this through Sasha Graham. I always knew that it rules the Temperance, but Sagittarius also rules Wheel of Fortune. Like, what? I think it's because Jupiter rules Wheel of Fortune, so there's Sagittarius influences, but I'm just going to roll with it because Wheel of Fortune, for those of you who know me, one of, like, literally my favorite cards in the deck. It's my favorite major arcana. I love Wheel of Fortune. I made it Madonna, who is, you know, my ultimate, like, love and goddess. And she is, you know, that energy of reinvention, evolution. And Sagittarius has that. Sagittarius energy, ninth house energy of philosophy, spirituality, travel. It's literally movement. It's like, we choose movement over stagnation, even if it's scary. So there's a lot of ninth house energy in Temperance, in Wheel of Fortune, and the other cards that are associated with the ninth house include all the Sagittarian cards. So Eight of Wands, which is Mercury in Sag, Nine of Wands, which is Moon in Sagittarius, and Ten of Wands, Saturn in Sagittarius. So we'll go on to, you also wanted to know about the 12th house. So these are all really good houses. I love the ones that you picked. These are ones that some of my faves. The 12th house rules the subconscious mind. So dreams, psychic intuition. And this is Avi ruled by Pisces, because Pisces is that like intuitive psychic of the tarot. It's of the Zodiac. It's the last sign in the Zodiac. So it's kind of learned all of the lessons of the other 11 and is now like, all right, I got this. I'm like, you know, the super intuitive psychic one. So in tarot, the Pisces card, so to speak, is the moon. And the moon represents really acknowledging and accepting both our light and shadow selves, like how they're the two fish that represent Pisces. In the moon, there's a lot of duality to that card, you know, the conscious and the subconscious. And to achieve our most authentic and integrated versions of ourselves, we really have to be able to integrate both of those sides. So I would say the 12th house, definitely the big mama card is the moon, and then all of the Piscean energy cards. So Eight of Cups, which is Saturn in Pisces, Nine of Cups, I love this card, Jupiter in Pisces, and Ten of Cups, Mars in Pisces, are also big 12th house energy. There are still nine other houses we didn't even touch and a ton of tarot cards we didn't address, but wanted to answer your specific question. And to dive deeper into this, Sasha Graham's book, Llewellyn's Complete Book of Rider-Waite-Smith Tarot, addresses this in way more detail and is a great resource for just various elements of tarot, including in-depth astrological rulings and associations. And I kind of use this as a textbook. Like I know the rulings of the cards, but when I need to delve deeper into like, okay, what is Mercury in Sagittarius with Eight of Wands? Okay, Mercury is fast moving. It's communication. It's like bringing in things very quickly. It's why I love Eight of Wands, RuPaul card, right? But when I need to go kind of delve deeper into the astrology side of things, this is a great book for that. And I'm going to link to that in the notes of this podcast. All right. I hope that was helpful. And again, this is just like little tiny, like very, very top level to address the three houses that were questioned, but there's so much more. That's what I love about tarot. There's so many layers and there's always more to learn. I'm always learning and I've been learning since I was 11. And I think it's why as a Sagittarian, as a ninth houser of philosophy, spirituality, and travel, and I get bored very easily, it's why tarot has stuck with me, because there's always more to it. And I love that. All right. So the next question comes from Alex in Detroit. What are your thoughts on practicing/performing love spells? I know many people frown upon it, but why is this such a taboo? Oh my God, Alexis, don't do it. It is taboo for a reason. Every cheesy cliche you've seen in a movie and every witch that has told you she won't provide love spells or candles for a specific person is giving you this for a valid reason, okay? Now, I say this knowing you guys are going to do whatever the fuck you want. I know I did. So did my best friend, the fab Cancer who's arriving on the summer solstice. So I'm just going to share our stories. And much like those cheesy 1980s and 90s don't do drugs commercials, you might completely disregard them, but I feel I should at least warn you and do all I can. So love spells for welcoming in love, like generally, are great. In fact, these are often rooted in connecting to universal love, starting with yourself. And this work then kind of invites others on that vibration to come into you. Because when you do that healing on, you know, within you and then open up to universal, like cosmic consciousness love, it's just more is more is more and it's coming in. So if you're doing that, get all the pink candles and rose petals you want and, you know, go for it. Two broomsticks up for that. But love spells on the flip side for a specific individual never work the way you want them to. For those of you who saw The Craft and still thought it would be a good idea to try to make your crush fall in love with you, let me tell you, Skeet Ulrich stalking you is even more terrifying IRL, okay? So my best friend's story is pretty textbook. He liked a popular athlete in high school, and now this was the 90s, before you could just grab your phone and Google a spell. So he kind of intuitively just came up with this on his own. And when I asked him how, he said he doesn't even know how. It's just like he knew, he quote unquote knew what to do. So he swiped a pencil from the guy, the football player's desk, and the guy had chewed on it. So he grabs this pencil, he bought a red candle, and then used the chewed up pencil to carve a spell into the candle's wax, and he burned the candle over a photo of his crush. Now, within a month, some serious and very intense stalking from football player dude ensued. And this actually ended with him crashing his car into my bestie's house. And my friend's dad is a cop, so quite a fiasco occurred when the football player dude couldn't explain how or why he had driven his car into their home at 1 a.m, not drunk, like why was he even there? So you're probably thinking, did I know this story? Of course I did. He's my best friend. But I made the dumb mistake of thinking, oh, but my situation is different. So once upon a time, at a much less centered period in my life, I met a super sexy, very into me, air quotations, straight lady. She was very closeted, but very, very pursuant of me. And despite knowing intuitively that this was a terrible idea, because of our very intense connection, I went on a date with her after our initial meeting. And after this, I was hooked, okay? I felt this like strong, intoxicating high and was telling myself, I need more of this. I need this woman in my life. So I did the thing. I bought a candle, I crushed up rose petals from a rose she had given me, I used a hair of hers that had fallen on the floor of my apartment, and let me tell you, this spell was a bad idea. Much like my BFF, this also resulted in an uncomfortable level of stalking after I ended it, and even breaking into my apartment at one point. Now, in both of these cases, yes, there was an established mutual attraction to begin with, but I don't think we did ourselves any favors with trying to focus intent on another person outside of ourselves. Years later, we both joke that we should do a PSA, but know that people would have been messing with this form of magic for centuries and probably will continue to do so no matter what level of warning we can provide. I want to say, I strongly, strongly, strongly advise against this, and I would never do it again. If you're wanting to allow love in, ask the universe to bring a love that's in your best and highest interest. Trust me, okay? It might not be the person you think it is at that given moment, but the universe is freaking amazing and can see so much further out and so much clearer than you can see in any one moment in time. So just let the universe do her thing and try not to manipulate. Okay, that was a disturbing blast from the past. But in the words of G.I. Joe, knowing is half the battle, kids. So use your intuition and your powers wisely, my badass bitches. All right. Our next question comes from Mary in Baltimore. Hey, Cardzi, I love your podcast so much. I hear you and a lot of followers talking and posting about muggle jobs. For those of you guys who are not Harry Potter fans, and I hope that you all are if you listen to this podcast, but Muggle is kind of like the non-magical job, like your 9-to-5. I hear you and a lot of your followers talking and posting about Muggle jobs. I'm really trying, but I hate mine. It's a really toxic environment in an old school corporate setting, and I come home feeling so drained and negative that I can't even force myself to write or work on hobbies that I used to love and find fulfilling. I'm not in a place where I can leave my job right now. Do you have any suggestions or tips on how to raise my vibe at work so I can find more energy for what I love outside of the office? This is a great question, Mary, and I hear you. It's taken me quite a while to be able to create my own schedule for the most part. I'm not sure if you heard the episode with Rhiannon Roslin. She's the CEO of the Economic Club of Canada, a powerful force in the conscious leadership movement. And if you haven't, I would recommend checking out episode 11, which I'll link back to in the notes, because she gives some really great tips about just raising your vibe in the workplace. Rhiannon talked about really making your space your own as one of the key pieces of advice. Even if it's just, you know, a little gray cubicle or a desk that's in an open concept space, she recommends putting out quotes or images that inspire you and lifting your mood. Rhiannon mentioned that she uses crystals and images of Oprah that inspire her and her workspace. I also personally find it really important to just physically move throughout the day. I know a lot of corporate jobs normalize and kind of silently even encourage the practice of eating lunch at your desk, but realistically, if you can, I highly recommend going for a lunchtime walk. I'm lucky enough to live in Manhattan, and so even when I'm in offices with corporate clients, I have the ability to just step outside and take a 10 to 15 minute break, you know, and walk around the city, even if it's just for like to go quickly grab food or to grab a tea. But this really allows you to break up your day and take some just time for yourself outside of that environment. Even if you don't live in a big city or work in a big city, walking to your car or walking to a different part of the office or the facility can just be a really good break and be very productive. I know that you mentioned that you're not in a place, I'm just looking back at your email, you're not in a place where you can leave this job. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. Another powerful exercise is really kind of just visioning, whether that's journaling or vision boarding, what your ideal career or what your ideal week looks like. And as you give this energy and attention versus giving energy to all the things that are pretty awful about your current sitch, the universe hears that and then starts collaborating to offer you more of that. One of my all-time gurus, Phil Good, who has an awesome YouTube station and Instagram at Phil Good Life. If you don't already follow him, I recommend it. He recently likened this practice of doing this to when an actor gets hired for a big film role. And the first thing they do is provide a list of what they need to best complete the job and, you know, complete that role. And that's, you know, a set amount of money, certain accommodations, you know, dietary requirements. Think Jennifer Lopez needs some special Jo Malone candles at all locations. So the universe is like that film studio to us, and we have the ability to request what we need in order to fulfill our highest purpose in this lifetime. For me, it's really important to have flexibility and freedom that allow me to work out, to meditate, and to work in a Zen environment, that I have comfortable temperatures, that I can burn Palo Santo, that I can have my dog with me. And, you know, I'm so grateful that now I spend 4 to 5 days a week working from home. And the days that I am in a corporate office occasionally, I have flexible hours that do allow me to meditate in the morning, to work out, to be home with my dog by 5:30 on those days. And this makes me better as a healer and creator, and my clients get the best of me as a result of, you know, me putting out to the universe, these are the things I need. This isn't always an overnight change, but defining what makes you the most successful is really a powerful step towards actualizing this and putting out like, hey, this is what is going to put me into the alignment to be the best version of me. So I would really recommend, like, whether it's lists on your phone, I'm a big advocate of using the notes in the iPhone of making little lists. Some people like to vision board. I've in the past created a private, like, secret Instagram account as a digital vision board, but whatever works for you, visioning this and what those things that are going to help you succeed are is really going to line that up for you. All right. The last question we have, in addition to pulling a card a day in the morning, what are some tarot related daily practices that you use and or recommend. Om Toronto 73. Oh, I love your, thank you, Om Toronto 73. I love this question too. And yes, absolutely. In addition to a daily card pull, I change the backdrop of my iPhone frequently based on the energy I want to manifest. I tend to heavily feature the same cards. I'm not even going to lie. I often use Page of Pentacles, aka the Elle Woods card in the Badass Bitches tarot deck, or Eight of Wands for fast luck, the RuPaul card. But I switch it up depending on what I'm trying to embody or allow in on any given day. I also try to make a habit of what I call sending postcards to my past self, which often involve sending her a tarot card with a little note. I follow the belief system that time is not linear, but spiralic, and so the past, present, and future are all occurring at the same time. It's not just like that, what that happened, it's done. I believe in this, you know, spiral of time. So because of this, I find it incredibly healing to send moments of joy and gratitude to my past self. I'm not sure if you guys saw my post from last weekend of the Four of Wands card, but if not, okay, last weekend, two of my besties and I had a fab staycation at the William Vale Hotel here in New York. Danny is one of my best friends who's a very busy doctor, and she's developing her own all-natural beauty line. Karen's a powerhouse CEO, and because of our busy lives and schedules, we decided we needed to put a weekend on the calendar to just hang and catch up and discuss a joint business venture that all three of us are now working on together. More info on that soon, but anyway. I had this massive moment of love for these women this weekend and just so much gratitude for my life when I was sitting in the pool feeling like, wow, I really am living that Sex and the City life that I dreamed about over a decade ago when I was fantasizing about what I wanted when I was going to move to New York. And it came with even better, more loving, more connected friendships than I could have ever imagined. So in that moment, I took my Four of Wands card, which represents, in tarot, represents celebration with loved ones, having support around you, and I mentally sent the Four of Wands as a postcard to my past self for her to look at in the times that, you know, I was poor and depressed and felt so isolated and alone. And I thought, keep dreaming, girl. It's working. You get to have that Sex in the City life, and you have so much love and support around you. It's literally right here. It's right in this pool. And I believe that those little moments help cheer our past selves on or pull us through times of darkness. So like the little notes or care packages that your loved ones might have sent you, like when you went to summer camp or in college, make time to really give gratitude to those moments in your present to send to your past self, you know, as a little gift, as a token. Also, when you're struggling in the present, another thing that's helpful is to ask your future self for some guidance. Be like, I could use a care package right now. I could use a sign, some inspiration, because I bet your future self is living an even sweeter life with some incredible postcards to send you. So that's just a little, that's one of my daily, not every day, I shouldn't say it's a daily practice, but as it comes up, it's one of my ongoing practices that I also highly recommend. So thank you again for all the questions. Please keep them coming for next month's Ask Cards EB episode. I appreciate it so, so much. And before we head out, just to quickly recap, we're halfway through that Gemini energy of the lovers, bringing in harmony and fulfillment. This can come in as a deepened connection with a loved one, but also encourages us to integrate our own light and shadow with ourselves to experience more balance, harmony, and self-love. Our other card of the month, Justice, reminds us to express our needs with clarity and also protect them with clearly defined boundaries that serve our best and highest interests. And this week, we have the Hanged Man coming in, reminding us if there are uncertain or uncomfortable situations this week, breathing into that discomfort and surrendering to the unknown can actually bring about a powerful new perspective. So after a super hectic travel schedule in Gemini season, I am back on Instagram Live as usual tonight at 8 p.m. EST and every Sunday thereafter, where you can tune in for an overview of the upcoming week's cards and a chance to get your own free live mini reading. You can also send through questions in advance to my Instagram DMs or to badassbitchestarot.com. And as for my Canadian badass bitches that have been asking, when am I coming? I'm going to come. I'm going to be in Toronto June 28th through Monday, July 1st. If you want an in-person reading, I will be in Yorkville setting up shop Friday, June 28th. And I'm taking bookings now. They are filling up. So you can book on my site or email or DM me for any questions around bookings as a Canada Day special, because I love, love, love my Torontonians. All of my prices are going to be discounted to be in Canadian dollars. So that's like a 25% off rate, you guys, off my standard pricing, because I love you and I want to celebrate Canada Day. For any more updates or additional events that are getting added, follow at CardsEB on Instagram and badassbitchestarot.com for those. And thank you guys for all of the amazing questions. Thank you for listening. And as always, stay magical AF.